Welcome to the Big Success Podcast, cutting-edge conversations on business and personal success, as well as how to level up. Here's your host, number one business coach in the world, Brad Sugars.
This week on the Big Success Podcast, we are joined by the Richard McCann. Now, Richard has an amazing backstory. When you think about a young man whose mother was murdered and having to come back from that and living with a father who, well, I'll let Richard tell more of that story about how that happened. But you're talking about a young man who went through the most awful scenarios and came out the other side, from his first jobs as iron and trousers, for literally, this is a guy who went through prison and all these things. And now he runs the ICANN Academy's first book called Just a Book, crazy enough, sold 250,000 copies, 11 different languages around the world, more than 3,000 speaking events across the world, teaching you about how you can live your best life. Resilience is a big thing from him. And in fact, during the podcast, I asked him about resilience. His take on how you can bounce back from negatives is phenomenal. In fact, the first area that I talked to him about success, his view on it is so different to what we've heard here before on the Big Success Podcast. And finally, his stuff in the third segment of the podcast on leveling up, just, I can't help but sit and think, this is why this guy is successful. So tune in for the next 30 minutes. Enjoy Richard McCann. This is going to be amazing. Follow his success. And welcome to Richard McCann, the ICANN Academy. How are you doing, my friend?
Doing fantastic. Great to be here.
I like it. Having you on the Big Success Podcast, I always start out with what seems to be a simple question, but it isn't always. What's success to you, buddy? How do you define success?
Good question, of course. And I think success for me is just improving my lot, improving my mindset, improving what I'm able to do or enjoy, improving the numbers in the business, you know, improving my reach. It's just about success is about, I guess, being better in all those different areas, improving in some way. And of course, we've all got different criteria about what success is. But for me, whatever I look at, just trying to get a bit better each time, each day, each month, each year.
You know, that's a unique perspective. A lot of people sort of think of more where they're going is the thing. So getting better each day, how do you measure that or how do you do that? Do you have a process of doing that or is it just a gut feel? What's your thoughts?
Well, I mean, we've just been having a meeting right now with Tracy, my peer, about how we're doing in January. I'm looking at last January and seeing at this point in last January, how many inquiries did we have? How many did we convert? So I'm always looking at what I did previously. I've got this Excel spreadsheet which goes back to 2005 when I first started as a speaker. And I charted every gig I ever did, how much I got paid, how many was in the audience. I like my numbers. And so I guess that's what I do. But I guess it's just a gut feeling as well. You know, how am I feeling today? Where is it going? Does it feel like we're going in the right direction? Have I made a mistake? Do we need to readjust and maybe change tack, shall we say? Mm. So I kind of, to some degree, I make it up as I go along. I really do.
I think we all do. It's funny. I was chatting with my daughter and she's like, Dad, I think everyone else has got it together and I really don't know what I'm doing. I said, kid, nobody's got it together. We're all just winging this thing.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
So you use numbers a lot. Is that something that you chose at some point or is it just your nature?
Well, actually, I've always, talking of a different look at numbers, I've always been fascinated by a certain number, which is 44. It followed me around everywhere. So I've always liked that number. Little did I know that Mum died on week 44 and her killer lived at house number 44. So I've always been interested in those kind of synchronistic numbers. But when it came to being in business, in fact, before I came into business, when I was, you know, working for other people, I was always looking at how much I was earning and seeing how can I improve? How can I go for a pay rise? Do I need to go to another job? So I've always been interested in the numbers. In fact, my very first job was ironing trousers. You may recall from the BizX conference. And I used to look at the numbers there. You got paid 2.75 pence per pair. So I had to do 1,000 pairs a day for £27.50 a day. So I guess knowing your numbers has always been really important to me.
Yeah. So let's go back then. If you look at, like, your story is so unique, but at some point you had to choose success. When did that happen for you?
Well, do you know, before my mum even died, so I'm talking five, maybe even four, we had very little money in the house, poverty, all the rest of it. And many of you listening might be able to relate to that. But success for me back then was in the UK, we used to have these little stamps. Now, when you go shopping now, you get your digital points on your card at like
I don't
know, Walmart or wherever. But we did it. We used to get these paper stamps called Green Shield stamps. I used to save them all the time, fill the book, and that's how I would get my sweets or biscuits. So even as a five-year-old boy, I've always scanned the horizon and looked for things that can help improve my lot. So that was my first bit of success. But I think my major success was at the age of 12, 13 at school. It was my English teacher. He encouraged me to take part in the public speaking competition. Mm. I was a bit of a chatterbox, and that was masking what was going on inside, to be fair. But I knew, despite having a lack of confidence, if I found the courage to get on stage, it might help with my lack of confidence.
Yeah.
And then that's exactly what happened. I won the competition and the rest history. And so that's my first major success. It taught me that there was more inside of me than I maybe had thought up until that point. So that was my first success. But as a speaker, I think the success is I don't go looking for work.
Yeah.
They come to me now. So I've been doing this 18 years. So, and that I think that's success for me, but obviously keep an eye on the numbers as well.
Yeah. So when you go back to that teacher, do you think they were the person that helped you choose to be successful in life? Or do you think you did it earlier when you were younger? Where do you think that choice came?
I think it was in my DNA, to be fair. My mum's family, they were travellers. In Scotland, they're called tinkers. Mm-hmm. And so they had to survive with whatever they could get their hands on. And I think that was maybe given to me through my DNA. And that's been the story of my life.
You know,
I mean, I've made some mistakes along the way. I've not always served myself. I ended up in prison, remember, 27 years ago. But even that, I used that as an opportunity to I guess, recover, to bounce back and put my life back together. I don't know if I went off on a tangent there with the question, but I think it's been with me all the time. Because I came from very little and we had virtually nothing as children, it meant I was eager, keen, motivated to just improve my lot, whatever that lot was.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, when in life, most of us develop some sort of a method of success. What's your formula for success? Or how does success happen in your mind? What's the way it happens?
Well, I think it's as simple as this. Like when I became a speaker, 2005, I saw that other people were speaking. People with stories, in particular W. Mitchell, I saw this speaker and I thought, my gosh, this guy's fantastic. And this is what he does full time. And I thought, well, I've got a story. I'm just not very confident in sharing it. And I'm not quite sure how to share it with influence. But I thought, if I could just work out how he does it, if I can study him, get some support, get some coaching, then I might be able to, then I'll certainly have some of his success. That's what I thought. And it's exactly what happened. I studied him, studied the greats, got the books, went on the courses, and 3,000 keynote presentations later, it's quite a good philosophy to have. Knowing that if I do something, the first time I do it, like my first presentation, I was sat down in a chair reading from notes. It was shocking. But I knew that if I did it, and I did it again and again, I'm going to get better at it. Mm. So I guess that's been a philosophy that's just served me really well.
Yeah. Is it so if you look at that as a formula, then you study the greats and you study the books. Is there any other thing you think that is important to making success happen?
Well, yeah, take action for a start, but realize.
I
mean, we came across The Secret, didn't we, a few years ago, and it's all right, believing something's possible. You've got to do some work as well. I think my business is called the I Can Academy. It's about starting with that belief. I can do this, then doing it. You probably won't do it as well as you could do it. So then get better, model other people. And that's kind of my philosophy. Mm. I wrote a book, ask for help. I wrote a book before I started speaking, it was a number one bestseller. I knew that the other people were out there writing books. Dave Peltzer was the guy that inspired me, A Child Called It. So I thought all I've got to do is write it in a similar style to him, get some support because my English was poor, and the rest history.
So let's talk about the flip side then. And your story's a great one for this. How do you learn success from failure, from negatives? How do you take that and turn it into a success?
Well, I mean, there's two sides to this. The first answer is, it's quite obvious. If I do something and I don't do very well, I have to just analyze it. Right. Well, okay. Where did that go wrong? How could I improve that? But also sometimes we try things, we do things, and they're not a success. And sometimes these ideas that we might have, sometimes you've got to write them off. I came up with this initiative in the pandemic, Inspire the Nation. I had this idea that because nobody was spending on learning and development, that I would have these open seminars for organizations to log on, pay, you know, not a lot of money, but pay some money. If I get like 200 organizations, I'm going to earn a lot of money out of that. It never happened.
Yeah.
Maybe it was a marketing. And I just got to write that off. But there's other things that I tried within the pandemic that have absolutely flown, like my resilience workshop. I've developed that over the pandemic, and without sharing any names or naming any names, a global sports brand just booked me to run that program in their organization. That happened because in the pandemic, I rolled the dice. I did a free webinar via LinkedIn and they booked onto it, and then the rest is history. So always rolling the dice, trying things out, but just, you know what? Sometimes they're not going to work. Next, move on to the next one.
Yeah. So ultimately, if I was to sit back and say, okay, Richard, I need to go to learn success. Is there one or two things that you think have propelled you to your level of success?
Remember, success is, I mean, success for somebody might be having only having to work 2 days a week. So I think it's my desire that's made me successful. I think any job I ever do, ironing trousers, washing plates in a hotel, telesales at the Yorkshire Evening Post, I won an award there. I've always just been so keen and eager. If somebody else can do something better than me, then I want to have a look at them and say, right, okay, what are they doing? And in fact, that's what happened when I won the award at the newspaper on the telesales team. I found who was the best. It was a guy called Baljit Singh. And I modelled him. I sat with him, got to know him, saw his energy, saw his style, and I won the award, became supervisor there. So I guess that's part of my philosophy, just observing other people. Although I have to say, as I said earlier, other people have different criteria for success. And maybe as I get a bit older, maybe I might look to work 1 or 2 days a week.
Yeah. You're on the Big Success Podcast. I'm Brad Sugars. We'll be back with Richard McCann. We're going to talk about mindset, attitude, self-belief, and self-talk as soon as we get back from the break.
The level of success achieved by businesses like Amazon, Apple, and Uber isn't a stroke of luck or an act of magic. It's a result of careful, consistent, and disciplined plan for maximizing business growth. Learn these proven and tested methods in Brad Sugars' book, Pulling Profits Out of a Hat, and grow cash flow and maintain a healthy cash position for your business.
And you're back with Big Success, Brad Sugars. I'm here with Richard McCann, the Richard McCann of the ICANN Academy. Richard, I want to talk about resilience. How do you succeed at resilience?
Well, that's a subject close to my heart, having been through some of those, extreme adverse situations. I think the way that you succeed, or the way that I've succeeded with resilience, is mindset. It starts with most of it starts with mindset. Success starts with mindset. But when you go through a traumatic event, and I don't just mean the murder of your mum, but a tragedy, a setback, hardship, it's about what you think. It's called your explanatory style, isn't it? It's what you think about that situation.
Take me more into explanatory style, because I think that's something brilliant that you teach.
Explanatory style. So if you look out the window and it's raining, here in the UK, most people look out the window and go, oh, look at that horrible weather. The fact is, it's not horrible weather. It is weather. And we create the horrible weather in our minds. When my mum died, my explanatory style, this is Seligman's work, by the way, but explanatory style, well, I told myself that mum had been taken by God. I haven't had time to go into the detail here, but she was on psychiatric wards. She was slashing her wrists, domestic violence. And I told myself as a 5-6-year-old boy that she'd been taken by God to stop her suffering. And so that me and my three sisters would have this fresh start with my father, my estranged father, and his new girlfriend the following year. That thought process or explanatory style is what helped me deal with that. And as crazy as it sounds, because actually it was out of the frying pan into the fire, but it helped me at the time. And that mindset has been with me ever since. And by the way, when you go through something tragic, it basically educates you that you can get through this. So when the next setback occurs, I've been through that, so I know I'll get through this eventually. And you can't take the pain away, but you'll get through it. In my resilience workshop, we have this thing called the bounce back graph, the ups and downs of life, up in the green, down in the red. And when I do this in organizations, every single person that's lived on this planet has got a very similar looking bounce back graph. All right, I might have a few more than everybody else, but we all go through stuff, and I'm sure you've been through stuff. Yeah. My point is this, though, and I've learned this in my 53 years on the planet, you don't stay in the red. There's always a way back. Always a way back. And I get people to just reflect on their lives. Although there's a flip, you're in the green, you never stay there. Which is why whilst we are there, you need to savor those moments. You never know when you're going to get a phone call.
Love it, love it. So let's talk about then the self-talk and then the mindset attitude that that beliefs and even the self-belief attitude. How do you succeed at self-talk?
Brad, I have to say that I've not always succeeded at self-talk. It's taken me a good few years to start addressing that and realizing that some of the thoughts that I have, that we all have, are not from us. It's just from our experiences. Mm. How do you address that? It's by challenging that. It's about challenging that thought and realizing just because I think something does not make it real. And there's a great book, I can't remember the author, The Five Levels of Self-Talk. And one of those levels is I Can, by the way. I Can and I Will is the next level by doing the stuff. But there's a fifth level, and that's the one that I like. And it's that spiritual level that everything's meant to be, even the difficult stuff. And do you know what? That's been one of my thought processes throughout my entire life. I do believe, and I'm going to get deep here, but I do believe we choose the life that we have in order to learn various lessons or to do various types of work. And as crazy as that sounds, even if it's not true, that thought process or that self-talk helps me as I go through life. And you may as well think that because it's going to serve me better.
Yeah. Yeah. So then let's relate that back to mindset and attitude. How do you succeed at having the mindset and attitude to move forward and to keep growing and to keep doing that? What's your formula for that?
Well, it's a choice. It's as simple as that. One of the things I ask when I do my seminars is, where's all the positive people? And I ask them, where did you get it from? And actually, where you get it from is by deciding I'm going to be positive. So to be resilient, to be successful, it's all about believing I can do this and going out and doing it. It's about, well, it's all the thoughts that we have. People say the journey of 1,000 miles starts with the first step. Actually, it doesn't. It begins with the first thought. So I guess that's my one of my philosophies is to be careful what you think. The cells of your body, they're listening to your thoughts. And going back to the resilience, brushing things under the carpet and hoping they'll go away. Well, that is not a resilience strategy, to be fair, as you may recall from the seminar.
Let's jump to courage then. How do we succeed at having the courage then? Because that first step, that first thought, all of those things come back to that.
Well, courage is an interesting one. Not to be confused, by the way, with confidence. You see, you don't need confidence to be courageous. Courage is doing that stuff despite being petrified, which reminds me of me getting on stage age 13, writing my book, that first book. I was bearing my soul. That took some courage. But one of the things that I often think, and I thought it when I entered the public speaking competition at school age 13, and I thought it when I wrote my book, and I thought it when I became a speaker, I thought, whatever happens, I'll be able to deal with it. Whatever happens cannot be as bad as losing my mum, or cannot be as bad as what mum went through. So courage. And quite recently, I was quite courageous, I have to say, when I was on national TV in the UK, and it was the day mum's killer died, actually. I was on Sky News, and at the end of the interview, I found the courage to call out West Yorkshire Police about some of the language that was used back in the 70s about my mum, saying that she deserved what she got. I can't believe they did that. Anyway, I found the courage to call them out, and we got the apology, the public apology that very day. So again, that's just a decision. Every time, and by the way, you might recall from the BizX conference last year that I shared, the final thing that I shared was my little boy, yes, aged 8, finding the courage to get on stage in front of 3,000 people. Listen, there's not many professional speakers that have done that, let alone 8-year-old boys. But he didn't do that first time. It was small, incremental steps. He started with, was it 29 people in class? Then it was 50, then it was 100, 500. You got to take those small, incremental steps and build your, I guess, your courage and your comfort zone.
Very nice. I love that. I love that. So let me go then to the best version of you. One of the things you teach about is how to build the best version of you and how to become the best version of you. How do you succeed at that? How do you become the best version of yourself?
It's about, I think it's constant reflecting on where you are. deciding how I'm going to get better. You know what I'm thinking about? Not about work. I'm thinking about my children right now. I'm thinking about my young boy and how I'm parenting him at the moment. We're having some stuff. If anyone's got teenagers, you know what I'm talking about, but it's quite tough at the moment. So I guess what I have to do is reflect on how we're doing, how I'm supporting him, how I'm creating those boundaries. It's about reflecting, isn't it? So how am I doing right now in business, in my personal life, in my family life, as a dad, as a parent? And then being honest, actually, being honest and thinking, well, how could I have done that differently? How could I have got better at that? And it goes back to what I said right at the beginning, didn't I? I'm always looking for ways of improving my lot. And I think all those things I've just listed, being a parent, business owner, et cetera, all fall into that. So once again, kind of make it up, but not completely, because there is some method in the madness.
Love it. Love it. You're on the Big Success Podcast. We'll be back in just a moment. And Richard McCann's going to talk to us about how to go from good to great to amazing. Not just good results, but amazing results. You're on the Big Success Podcast. We'll see you in a moment.
Richard is an internationally renowned speaker, author, and mentor who has helped thousands of people transform their lives through his inspirational talks and coaching programs. He is an author of the best-selling book, Just a Boy, which tells the story of his childhood and an incredible journey that led him to become the person he is today. With over 20 years of experience in personal development, Richard is a true expert in empowering individuals and businesses to unlock their full potential and achieve extraordinary results. To learn more about Richard McCann, please visit his website today.
You're back on the Big Success Podcast. I'm Brad Sugars with the Richard McCann of the ICANN Academy. Richard, let's talk about leveling up. Let's look at how that actually happened. Going from good to great to amazing. You teach a lot of, you know, how people can succeed, but you don't just teach average success. You teach amazing levels. What's your theory on going from good to great?
I think all these subjects and questions are all interlinked and interrelated, because for me, going from good to great, it is that looking back at how did I do? And I'm thinking of the people that I coach, presentation skills and storytelling. And if I think about myself and going from good to great to amazing, it's been a long journey, but it's been that investment in yourself. Like for me, when I first started speaking, I started recording myself, taking some time to look at how I'm standing, am I looking, am I giving eye contact, all those basic things, and just thinking, oh, that could have been better. So for me, it's about that, constantly looking at where you are, how did I do, reflecting and deciding, right, how can I sharpen the saw? Who said that? Was it Stephen Covey?
Stephen Covey, yeah.
Always sharpening the saw. So that's just something we can all do, but you've got to spend the time to do it and be honest. And sometimes it may require a coach to help you with that, because, of course, we don't always see our flaws sometimes.
Yeah, it's rare I see someone leap from good to great or to amazing without some level of coaching. So let's go back then on that. What is your secret or key to dreaming big, dreaming massive? Because a lot of people don't do that. They don't set massive goals. What's your key to that, going massive?
I think it's just deciding this is possible. This is part. If other people are doing it, in fact, honestly, this is what I do. People are doing these 5-day challenges. People are doing pre-recorded. So I'm looking at what's going on in the marketplace and thinking, actually, I can have more success if I do what they're doing. So in the background at the moment, we're working on certain things, certain programs, which are launching very soon. So I guess, but by the way, can I say something about the leveling up? I think it's important, you know, the leveling up in the UK, at least, means something different to how you're describing it, you know, getting better each time. Leveling up over here means helping other people increase their levels or raise their bar. So leveling up is helping the underdog. And you know what? That's one of the things that I've always done. I think karma has a lot to say in this, so to speak, because if you help other people get to where they want to be, somebody once said, you know, you're going to get there much sooner. And it's what I do. It's why I've got, well, I won't say one of the members of staff that we've got in the room, but a few years ago, she wasn't in a good place. I gave her this role because I wanted to help her level up, so to speak. So it's not just about me and my business. It's about those around us as well. I'm not sure if I went off away from your question there, Brett.
I love the answer. I love the answer. So let's think about setting those massive goals. You teach a lot of people to set bigger goals, massive goals. What do you think is the difference between those who do it and those who don't?
Perseverance. It's perseverance. Nothing in life worth having was ever given on a plate. I mean, wouldn't it be great? And I sometimes go in schools as well.
It would be.
wouldn't it be great? Here's success. Here's your qualifications. That is not how it works. Well, who was it? Charles Marcus, I think it was over in Canada. Success is not a spectator sport. And he's absolutely right. You got to get involved in the game. And I think part of succeeding in life is deciding, right, okay, I've got this far. What can I do to go to the next level? And it's just, it's like the resilience thing. It's deciding I'm going to aim for that. If other people can do it, then so can I.
So let's dive in. We're going to go through the quick fire round and get your very fast thoughts on each of these areas. How do you succeed in relationships?
Woo! Wow, I wasn't expecting that.
it's the quick fire round, buddy. I always get people with this one.
Yeah, I think now as a 53-year-old man who's made many mistakes with relationships, I think it's about self-awareness, you know. It's about realizing, am I playing my part as well as I should? Am I reacting? Am I responding? So what's the... I think it's communication. Mm. It's communication, not taking things personally. I'm talking about romantic relationships, incidentally. So that's, I guess, communication is the key to that one.
Yeah. How do you succeed at health?
Health. I think it's doing some of the basic things. Although I have to say, your thoughts do affect your health. What's that book called? There's a fantastic book out there. The name escapes me. It's by Seligman. Oh, The Telomere Effect. The Telomere Effect. Optimistic people get ill less often. They age more slowly, and when they do get ill, they get better much quicker. So check out that on YouTube or the book, The Telomere Effect. A lot of it's going to be thoughts, but getting the sleep, getting the hydration, and having great food, and keeping those, I guess, those vices within moderation, shall we say, getting exercise.
Got it.
And I don't do all those things all the time very well.
How do you succeed at having fun?
Well, that reminds me of resilience. And one of my resilience tools from my workshop is to creating positive events, making your heart sing. So that's, again, about reflecting. What makes my heart sing? One of the things that makes my heart sing, one, house music. So I like my dance music, but also salsa. I love my salsa, and I go to salsa as often as I can. So that's good for me, doing things that you like. But it's about saying, what makes my heart sing, and when did I last do that? And if it's not been recently, you might want to make some time to do that thing. It's good for your resilience.
Love it. And how do you succeed at self-development?
Always seeking to improve.
That one's easy for you. I know that one's dead easy for you.
All the time.
How do you succeed at goal setting?
Decide where you want what you want to achieve. Model other people that have achieved it already, and realize you probably won't do it first time. And, you know, every time it goes wrong, what can I learn? But sometimes I have to say, we have to maybe reconsider where we're heading, and that's okay as well. Who was it that said it, doing the same thing over and over again is like madness? I can't remember who it was. If it's not working, change tack, change direction.
Very nice. All right, Richard, final question. In life, we get advice. In life, we see great quotes. What's been the best advice or the best quote you've ever seen on the subject of success and how to succeed in business, life, or in any area? What's your success thing?
Well, Henry Ford once said it. The founder of the Ford Motor Vehicle Company, he said, whether you believe you can or whether you believe you can't, you'll be right. And that is one of my... actually, he didn't say it word for word like that, but you get the point. It's all about self-belief, and that is kind of the core, runs through my DNA, so to speak. So whether you believe you can or you can't, you'll be right.
You're on the Big Success Podcast. That was Richard McCann. Make sure you check out the show notes, connect with him, follow him, read his stuff, learn his stuff. It's been great to have Richard on here. We'll be back next week with more on the Big Success Podcast. And that's the Big Success Podcast for today. Hopefully you took a lot of notes, hopefully you learned a bunch, and hopefully you're going to take action on it. BS, Brad Sugars, Big Success, take action. Check all the show notes for all of the links. I'll make sure that you have links to every single thing that every speaker has in our show notes. Check them now, click the links, take advantage of it, and I'll speak to you again next time on the Big Success Podcast.
You've been listening to the Big Success Podcast with the number one business coach in the world, Brad Sugars. To learn more about how to achieve business and personal success,
as well as how to level up or listen to past episodes, visit www.bradsugars.com.